Across the building today. It is good that we can come together, and it just seems like we were just here yesterday, but a week has done went by. And so whatever you wanted to get done, it's done over now. And what you were trying to strive, it's done over now. And so we're about to go into a brand new week. But it is good that you and I can be here today. It's good that we can be encouraged in God's Word, because I want to give you some things today to encourage you. You will always hear this pastor will always encourage you. You will never hear discouragement out of your pastor's mouth. I will always encourage you with the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be encouraged. I want to hear some good news. Don't you want to hear good news? Don't you want to be encouraged? We deal with enough stuff in this world to hear all the negativity and everything else that goes around, but I want to be encouraged. So I want you to know we're going to encourage you, and we're just going to say that the Lord is going to have His way in our hearts and life. I will say this before I begin my sermon today. Thank you for praying for my sister, Rhonda Sloan. She has been a sick lady for quite a while. She was in the hospital 21 days in an ICU for a little while. And I tell you, she was dealing with COVID pneumonia. COVID about took her out. But listen, guys, you prayed. People prayed all around that God would continue to keep His hand upon her. And now she's now out of the hospital. She is in rehab now since this past Wednesday. And so we got her in. So give God praise. Amen. Amen. Give God praise. And don't let up on your prayers. Don't let up on your prayers. Listen, prayers go a long ways. And God will hear your prayers. When you earnestly pray, God will hear your prayers. He may not answer right now when you pray, but I promise you, every prayer that goes up, God hears. And guess what? God is moved by your prayers. Let me say it again. God is moved by your prayers. Do you know why He's moved by your prayers? He has to move when you pray, because He is there to help us every day, to strengthen us. And guess what? When we call on the name of the Lord, He begins to acknowledge our prayers, because you're acknowledging His Son. And through the Son, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed, folks. And that's how we get to God, is through His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, died and rose again on the third day, seated by the right hand of the Father. Therefore, you and I have victory. We have victory. Why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm excited, because when I see the hand of God moving and when I see miracles before my eyes, I know that modern medicine is great. I love doctors. I love nurses. But God takes it to another level, folks. Another level that you and I can't even begin to understand. And it's never for us to understand. It's for us to hold His hands and let Him guide us. Let Him lead us. And He will be God in your hearts, in your life. Praise be to the Lamb of God. I am doing a new series called Slavery to Freedom Series. If you missed it, you can go on our website to www.vfclexington.org, go into the media area, and you can click on and hear my sermon from last Sunday, because we started last Sunday and we got a good few more weeks to go through this series. But we're going to be reading through the book of Exodus. So if you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Exodus, the 5th chapter. You have Genesis, then you have Exodus, the second book of the Bible of the Old Testament. 5th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse, Slavery to Freedom series number 2, and the title of my message is Waiting on God. And folks, I want you to know today, sometimes it is so hard for us to wait on God. It seems like, God, when are you going to answer? When are you going to move? When are you going to do something that I have been waiting for in my life? And so I want us to look here, as time will permit, waiting on God in Exodus 5 and 4. And so this is a little lengthy of a passage here, but just stick with me, because we're going to go right into this Slavery to Freedom series. Exodus 5 and 4. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest for their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cried out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it, and let them not regret or regard false words. And the taskmaster of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go, get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making bricks both yesterday and today as before? And then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the quota of the brick. And the Bible goes on and says, and the officer of the children of Israel saw that there was in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks for your daily quota. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that Moses is the man that God has called. We see Aaron is also beside Moses. And we see that God has told Moses to go to the wicked king of Pharaoh, saying, let my people go. And saying, let them sacrifice before Jehovah God. Let them give praise to Jehovah God. And Pharaoh says, no. He says, I'm going to tell my taskmasters to get them to do more work. They're idle. They're not taking no breaks. They're going to continue on. I'm putting them into slavery. I'm going to have them to work hard. They're going to work 24 hours around the clock, 7 days a week, 365 days. I'm going to run them until I get what I want. And they continued on and continued on. And yet God was dealing with Moses. God was dealing with Aaron, and God was dealing with the people, but they were in bondage because this king knew no God. He says, I don't know your God. I don't care about your God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I will do it the way I want to do it. And yet they were in a situation that they had never been in their life. I want you to know today that Moses and Aaron was before the wicked king of Pharaoh. The long wait was to be over. The day was to arrive. And yet this moment for which Moses was born, He was to let God's people go. And he was to tell Pharaoh, let God's people go. And he had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. As God began to deal with Moses, even before the people was to be let go from Pharaoh. Remember, he was at the burning bush. God had spoke to him. He had ran from God. God had spoke to him through a burning bush and told him, go back to my people. Tell that wicked king to let my people go. For such a time as this, God had orchestrated everything that was going on. Sometimes there are things that go on in our life that we do not understand. And we feel like, how can I take much more? How can I handle much more? And we want to pull our hair out. We want to just almost shake our fist at God and say, God, why are you allowing this? But I want you to know today that there are things in our lives that God allows so that He can get not just our attention, but to get our full attention, that we focus on Him and not on the problem, that we focus on Him and not the circumstance. The enemy wants you to focus in on the problem. He wants you to focus in on the circumstance. He wants to show you that you cannot be, that you can't come out, you cannot overcome. But I want you to know today that the devil is a liar, and he is a liar to all. And I want you to know today we have the victory. He's the father of lies. That's why he got kicked out of heaven, because of pride creeping in his heart, saying, I am and I will. And God took him out, and 1/3 of the angels went out with him. I want you to know today, God knows exactly what you and I are going through. It is not a surprise in the things that you're going through. Don't feel like that it's the end, that it's doom, it's gloom, it's agony and defeat. It is not. For with God, you can withstand the things that come your way. That's why the Bible says for us to put on the whole armor of God, that you will be equipped when the fiery darts come your way. You will know how to fight. You will know how to resist. You will know that when the enemy tries to come in, as he tries, guess what? God holds up a standard, and the standard is that God will be with us. Who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. There's no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible lets me know in the book of Esther, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. The Bible says, for you remain completely silent at this time. Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to a kingdom for such a time as this. I want you to know Esther in the Bible, as we see, she was for her people. She was crying out for her people. And she was saying, for such a time as this, God has placed you for such a time as this. There is no surprise. There's no accident. There's nothing that you stumble across. God has completely orchestrated. He who begins a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the very end. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's negative reaction began to take place, yet rebelled against the plan of God. He rebelled against the person of God. He rebelled against the people of God. You see, Moses and his people learned to wait on God. And we must wait on the Lord. Why? Because while we're waiting, God is renewing. Let me say it again. While you are waiting in the circumstance of the situation that you're going through, God will renew you. I want you to know today, my first point is this: daily duties continue while waiting on God. Daily duties continued while waiting on God. God just didn't take Pharaoh out right then to give his people relief. In other words, he cranked up the labor. He cranked up the hardness of Pharaoh. Listen, I want you to know, God already told Moses, says, when you go to Pharaoh, I've already hardened his heart. Can you imagine God telling you to go somewhere and God tells you, now when you get there, the king's heart is going to be hardened where he's not going to move. And so when Moses got there in front of the old king Pharaoh, he basically said, God, that's exactly what you said. He's not budging. He's not moving. See, it was nothing of Moses to move Pharaoh. It was nothing for him to come in there physically to move Pharaoh. It was all for the workings of God. There's nothing that you can do sometimes in your situation of your circumstance. And we want to fix things. We want to solve things. We want to do things with our hands, or we want to say something. But I want you to know today, it's all orchestrated about God. When God sets up and when He moves in a mighty way, there's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God when He starts moving in your life. You see, it was never for Moses to do anything within himself to try to move a wicked king away from God's people. Listen, the people expected immediate release because they had called on God. Now, a lot of times we call on God when we're in trouble, but yet we don't have a relationship with Him on a daily basis. And then you may tell me, well, Pastor, I don't call on God unless I need Him. But listen, God is not a God that sits on a shelf. He's not a God that you pick up when calamity and trouble comes your way, then you pull Him down off the shelf and say, God, I need your help. And then when God helps and gives you the mercy and He begins to help you, then you want to put God back on the shelf and say, God, I'll call you when I need you, but I don't need you right now. Listen, God is not a God of a light switch. God is not a God of convenience. God is not a God that you can just move around like a stuffed doll. God wants a personal relationship with you day in and day out. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to pray to Him. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants to hear what you have to say. You may say, well, Pastor, He's all God. He's all knowing. He's all that He sees. He already knows before I begin to think. Yes, He does, but He wants to hear from you. He wants you to voice it. He wants you to talk. He wants to communicate. Listen, the people expected immediate release. They stopped working as hard as before because they thought God was going to bail them out. Why should they work hard with deliverance near? How difficult is it to keep on track while waiting? The mistake of some who have set dates for even for Christ's return. Some says, well, God's coming back. Some have quit jobs and waited because they're waiting for the return of God. Some have spent lavishly waiting on God. And yet God calls us to what? Be faithful to daily tasks while we're waiting. It is for us to continue to give it to God and wait for Him to move in our behalf. Listen, that's when your faith comes alive. Your faith is not faith unless it's been tested. Let me say it again. Your faith is not faith unless it's been tested. If your faith has been tested, then that's faith that you have. That's faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not faith in yourself. It's not in faith of your friends and your family. It's not faith in something else or something tangible that you can hold to. Your faith is now in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've relinquished that you have, and now you fully surrender to His Lordship, and now by faith you believe, and your faith has been tested. Listen, God calls us to be faithful. Second, difficulties may increase while we're waiting on God. You may be dealing with difficulties, but then it begins to increase. And you begin to say, oh Lord, why are you increasing this on me? I thought it was to decrease, not increase. And yet there are times that things begin to increase. When we think that God is about to move, bam, we get something else. The Bible says in Exodus 5 and 6, there'll be no more straw for bricks. You shall, Exodus 5 and 7, you shall no longer give the people the straw to make bricks. They'll go out and get it for themselves. The taskmasters was bringing them things to build with, and now Pharaoh says, don't bring it to them. Let them do it themselves. I want what I want. I want this built. I want it bricked up. Don't be bringing them stuff. Let them sweat. Let them work. Let them get it for themselves. And yet more work was given to the Israelites. Exodus 5 and 9, let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it. Let them not regard false words. Gather up stubble. Brick production was to stay on target. Listen, he'd give them a little bit of break, but when he found out that they've got to give a sacrifice before God and found out that Moses and Aaron saying, let God's people go, he just turned up the heat and made it harder for them. There are times in our life that the enemy tries to turn up the heat in our lives. But I want you to know today, God will be with you every step of the way. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in a fiery furnace. But they said, we're going to serve our God. We're not serving you, nor are we bowing down. And God came on the scene and did not burn nor consume, because God was with them every step of the way. I want you to know today, when the heat increases upon us, that just calls us that much more to beg God, just that much more to pray to God, that much more for us to get on our knees and say, God, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening to me, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I know who my Redeemer is. I know who the God I serve, and the God is the God that gives me victory over all the things that I deal with in life. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know, as things begin to increase in our hearts and our lives, our troubles may also increase, even during waiting times. While waiting, and it seems like it's increasing, remember God is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says He's closer than a brother or a sister. Your mom may let you down. Your friends may let you down. They may take a dagger and stab you in the back and take you up all up and down and try to kill you. But listen, when God has His hand on you, God will protect you and take care of you, and He will bring provision to you, and He will begin to heal the things in your life. Third, some may become impatient while waiting on God. Some might be impatient while waiting on God. Listen, don't give up on God because God has never given up on you. Don't give up on God. That's no need for us to stop now. It's no need for us to throw our hands up in the air. It's no need for us to quit on God, because God has never quit on us, because He loves us and He sees the very best in us. Our waiting may involve, listen, others. The complaint of the officer began to complain in Exodus 5 and 20. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. We must not injure the faith of others. We are to be faithful builders while we're waiting. See the effects of the complainers on Moses in Exodus 5 and 22. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people?" Even Moses began to ask the question, "Lord, you sent me here. You told Pharaoh to let them go, to tell him to let them go. But why have you increased the heat? Why have you done it? These are your people. Why are you allowing this to happen?" And the Bible says, "Why is it that you have sent me, Moses? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done nothing but evil to these people. Neither have you delivered your people at all." See, Moses got frustrated. There are times that we get frustrated. Sometimes we said, "God, where are you when I need you? God, are you listening? God, where are you when I needed you?" You see, and those things will come. And folks, even if Moses was the leader, Moses that God had called, He had said, "Where are you at, God?" But listen, we must encourage others to be patient and trust God. Listen, the Bible says in Exodus 6 and 1, and my third point, delays do not mean God will fail to come through. My third point, delays do not mean that God will fail to come through. Just because things are delaying does not mean that God doesn't see you. It doesn't mean that God's not going to act. It doesn't mean that God's going to move forward. Listen, it's not your timing, it's God's timing. It's not your timing, it's God's timing. Because here's the thing. When you start asking God what you want, when you want it, how you want it, and how you want it to be, and if He granted that, you don't know, but you could wind up in trouble because it was what you were wanting. Listen, God knows more about you than you know yourself, because He created you in His image to serve Him, and He knows more about you in and out. The Bible says our thoughts are not His thoughts, our ways are not His ways. They are far past finding. How unsearchable are His ways? But I want you to know this. This is how much God knows you. He knows every hair that's on your head. And you may well say, "Well, Pastor, I'm slick onion bald." Well, you have follicles down there that's not been developed or come out. He knows all about that too. That's how much God knows about you. And I want you to know today that we're not to be impatient, which it is normal. It is human that there's sometimes that we're impatient. I deal with impatience. Others will deal with impatience. But we are to wait on God. We are to wait on God. Delays do not mean that God will fail to come through. Exodus 6 and 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, Moses has been complaining. Moses has been, yeah, you mean Pastor, the leader, the man that God called to go tell Pharaoh, let his people go, he's complaining. Yeah, he's been complaining. Yeah, that's the leader, but he's human. He was complaining, as sometimes we do. But listen, God answered him, okay? Sometimes you don't think God's going to answer. You kind of just throw it out there and say, God, where are you? Why is this? Why is that? Listen, God answers. Here's what God did. Exodus 6 and 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, after he's doing all of this, where you at, God? Why ain't you done something? Then the Lord said to Moses, now, this is what God said. This is not what Moses said. This is God said. Now you shall see, look, you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, look at this. God spoke to Moses and said this to him, I am the Lord, period. Now, all of the murmuring, all the complaining that the children of Israel were doing, even Moses is the leader, he says, I am the Lord. And let me go on a little bit further here and add this. I am the Lord, I fail not. God does not fail. God is what He is, and He says what He says, and He means what He means. And when we all get frustrated and we all wonder what's going on, chaos and everything else, God says, I am God, period. In other words, He gets the last laugh. He gets the last line. He gets the last say-so over your life. Even the devil doesn't have say-so over your life because he's limited to what he does, because the devil has to answer to God. And when God moves in a mighty way, there's nothing that can stop. Listen, the people doubted and Moses complained. God's promises, what, were unchanged. Deliverance was ahead, whether Moses believed it or not, whether the children of Israel believed it or not. Deliverance was ahead. The promise at the burning bush, where Moses forgot that that's where God was, at the burning bush, to tell him to let his people go. Moses had forgotten about that. A bush that never consumed. A bush that came on fire out of nowhere. And yet God was in the fire. The promise would be fulfilled. Never question in the dark what God gives in the light. Oh, you need to write this down. You need to catch this. Listen, sometimes instead of it being taught, it's caught. Never question in the dark what God gives in the light. When you have dark days in your life, and some of us will come across that, of dark days, understand that even in the darkness, never question, because God brings the light and He brings everything unto us. God's promises to those who wait, let me give you a word of encouragement today. When God's promises to those who wait, first, He brings strength to you. Listen, Psalms 27 and 14, you need to write this down. Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall, look, He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice in this passage, He says it twice. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, here He goes again. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes we don't hear it the first time because it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. And you say, yeah, whatever. Here, God is saying through this passage, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen you and strengthen your heart. And then He says, I say, he wants you to catch this. I'm going to say this again because you didn't get it the first time. I'm saying it again for the second time. I say, wait on the Lord. First, he brings strength to us. He lets us know that he is God that is with us. Isaiah 40 and 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Second, not only is there strength, but there's exaltations. Yes. Psalms 37 and 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. They may not be doing what they need to be doing, maybe not saying what they need to be saying. Maybe they're bringing strife against you. Maybe they're bringing evil against you. He says here, wait. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Don't worry about what's around you. Keep your eyes focused on the cross. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is God of just, and blessed are those who wait on the Lord. Those that wait, we're waiting on the Lord. 37 and 34, wait on the Lord and keep his ways. He shall exalt you and to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. In other words, there's answered prayer. That's the third thing. It's answered prayer. When you wait on the Lord, you keep his ways. He shall exalt you even to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. When people are doing you wrong, when you see things that are going your way, listen, he's going to cut it off. He's going to cut it off. Listen, God loves his own. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and life, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're in the palms of his hands. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Listen, no height, depth, nor principalities, nor rulers, nor anything that can separate us from the love of God. He has us, and guess what? The wicked will fall. Because of your faithfulness, because you called on God, you called the one that was the Redeemer, you've called the one that gives us victory, you're calling on the one that sustains everything. Psalm 62 and 5, my soul waits silently for God alone. My soul waits silently for God alone. The psalmist writes this, Psalm 62 and 5, for my expectations is from him. It's not from them. It's not from somebody else. It's not by what somebody else has said, but it is from Christ and him and him alone. And fourth, there's blessings, Isaiah 30 and 18. Therefore the Lord will wait. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is God of just. Blessed are all to those who wait for him. Wait for him. Wait on him. Him. You say, well, Pastor, I've been waiting. I have been waiting and I still don't hear nothing. And you tell me all the great and things that I need to do, but I still don't. We are still to wait on the Lord. Why? Because he is going to